You're listening to Kathy is In with Kathy DeBono.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Kathy is In. I am your host, psychotherapist Kathy DeBono, and I am here today again with my dear friend Lucia Gerbino, who I have seemed to manipulate one more time into coming in and being my co-host.
Manipulator.
For the day.
Mm-hmm.
I like this music. I don't like turning it off.
Mm-hmm. Kathy's dancing, just so you know. She's dancing to the...
It's a good bit.
Stop.
Oh my.
Good thing we're on the radio.
Good thing it's the radio. I know, we didn't tell anybody about my 1980s hairband that I'm wearing today.
That's really fantastic. Hot pink.
Hot pink. I was sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
I was sweaty. I was running out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I grabbed one.
There's no excuse.
It's kind of like my Olivia Newton-John Let's Get Physical tribute.
Most of those folks might be too young to know what you're talking about.
Are you too young to know what I'm talking about?
I said, so I referred to Chachi from Happy Days to someone, to my trainer. She looked at me blankly. I was like, really?
Doesn't that make you just feel super duper old?
I punched her in the eye.
I would punch her in the eye.
Yeah. She's got one left.
She's got one eye left?
I punched one. You have to get another
one. All right. That's a good idea.
There you go.
Jeez. How does she not know who Chachi is?
Because she's 11.
What are you doing for your training? Are you jumping in a jumpy castle?
No, we actually jump rope and hula hoop. Play jacks.
So you know what I want to do right off the bat?
Mm.
I got an email this morning,
mm-hmm.
and I won't mention her name because I didn't get her permission, although I think she'd be okay with it, but I'm going to play it safe. I got an email from a girl who I have met online through What's Your Problem, and she's, you know, sort of stayed in contact and followed projects and things that I'm doing, and she was listening to the show last week when we were talking about ways that we disconnect from our bodies. You remember this?
I do.
Lucia is totally zoning out. Lucia, here's your mic.
I was not zoning out.
I was trying
to connect with the chat room.
Oh, I see. Yeah, we have the chat room.
I think I was just
today.
Staring at the floor. Like,
yeah, I thought maybe I lost you. I thought maybe your sugar
had
crashed.
A stroke.
I don't know what happened.
Okay.
Are you smelling toast? What is that thing?
I think that's the stroke
is that
thing.
What
no,
happened?
I was trying to look at the computer screen. And
yeah,
look at the
we have
room.
A laptop here today because we wanted to be in the. Wait, I'll get back to the email. This is fun, right? This is the ADD radio show where we jump around. See if you can connect the dots. We'll get back to the email. I was just talking about.
Welcome to my life.
Yes. We brought a laptop in today because on there's a website that I built. It's a very simple website. It's not going to blow you away technology-wise or anything, but it's called the CDB Network. And on there, if you go there and click on the CDB TV Lounge, you'll find a chat room. And a lot of ladies go in there and kind of hang out, and they've been going in there and hanging out and listening to the show. So I wanted to bring my laptop with me today. So that we can, you know, look at the chat room, kind of eavesdrop, see if people have comments or anything they want to make comments. I also got an email from someone who said they're at work. They can't call in, but they'd like to sort of communicate with a chat, you know, through chat. So there you go. You have it. If you want to go to thecdbnetwork.com and click on the CDB TV Lounge, there's a chat room in there. Why do you look like that?
I was thinking about
Why
something.
Do you have that
out
look
of my
on
head.
Your face?
I was just thinking.
It makes me very uncomfortable when you look like that. You look like Uncle Frankie. I don't know what that means really, but it just came to mind.
I was concentrating on something in my head.
Is that what that was?
Get out
of your head. Come in the room.
I'm here.
All right. Wow, we're going to lose Lucia today, guys. I think I better stop manipulating her into coming to do the show.
Where's my green
Drink your tea?
I'm okay. Drinking my tea.
So back to the email, because I think it's really important. So I got an email this morning. Ooh, I almost said your name, too. Wow. Whew, that was close. She was upset with me, and rightfully so, because I wasn't very clear last week. And she was upset. She's been suffering from fibromyalgia her entire life. Apparently, it kicked in for her when she was 11 years old, and it kind of coincided with her menstrual cycle starting. And last week, we got a caller named Chach who came in, who talked about fibromyalgia kicking in for her about 18 or 20 years ago. And I think during that conversation, we uncovered that she had experienced a trauma at that time of her life. And as I've talked about before, I'm studying EMDR right now, which is a type of therapy that treats trauma. It treats the trauma that when we experience a trauma, no matter how small or how large, we trap it in the cells of our bodies. And we can manifest physical symptoms from that. We can manifest personality disorder symptoms from that, you know, once our psyches kick in and start to defend ourselves. And I encouraged Chachi to come find me because I wanted to tell her some information about EMDR and treating fibromyalgia. And this young lady who wrote to me was upset. She'd been a long-time sufferer of fibromyalgia. And fibromyalgia is one of those diseases or disorders of the body that people take a lot of flack for. People don't really believe fibromyalgia exists. It does exist. You know,
it's a fairly new diagnosis, and actual medical treatments are fairly new for it, too.
It's one of those things people can't put their finger on the etiology of it.
Yeah, there's no unless it's recent. There used to be no specific test for it for a long time.
You know, things like that, and Epstein-Barr, you know, chronic fatigue syndrome. And even, you know, I can identify with you, writer of the letter, because even having ADD, a lot of people don't buy it. You know, and they just think you're forgetful, or you're scattered, or you're all over the place,
or you're
lazy. Yeah. It's very frustrating to have to deal with people's judgments on your illness. And so first, I want to apologize for misleading that might be what I was thinking, because it's certainly and absolutely 100% is not what I was thinking. I don't believe fibromyalgia is all in your head. I don't believe any of these illnesses are. So let me clarify. Etiology is the cause of a disorder or a disease. So the etiology of having a common cold would be the germ that got into your body. That would be the etiology. That would be where it came from. There are certain things where the etiology can be from a number of different sources. So not everyone that has fibromyalgia acquired it in the same fashion. So the writer, young lady who wrote the letter this morning, it may very well be connected to the chemistry of your body and the genetics in your tissues, and be very organic to the cells of your body that you experience fibromyalgia. And then there are people who, due to stress and due to trauma, can store that energy in their body in a way that then manifests in a number of different types of symptoms. They can get psoriasis. They can get fibromyalgia. They can get all kinds of physical manifestations in their body of a trauma or of that then gets sort of exacerbated by stress. I see your hand up, Lucia. I'll get to you in a second. Just relax over there. Mm-hmm. So what I wanted to make clear was this particular caller who called in about fibromyalgia had experienced a trauma about 20 years ago when it started for her. So I wanted to talk to her specifically about seeking EMDR to treat her fibromyalgia. And if I use the word cure, with which our young lady told me I used the word, what I meant was that she may very well be able to expel that trauma from her body and thereby sort of expelling the experience of the fibromyalgia from her body. She has a very good chance of that if a trauma was the trigger for this for her. So I want to be clear that I know that it's not always the same etiology for these diseases, which means the treatment is not always going to be the same or effective. So if I hurt anyone's feelings or led anyone to believe that I believe that these kinds of disorders are all in your head and can be treated by simple talk therapy, that is not at all what I was trying to say. And also, young lady letter writer, I want to tell you, it's a whole lot harder to say than her first name. I want to let you know that I wasn't talking about just talk therapy in this case. I was talking about EMDR, which is a bit different. It incorporates talk therapy, but it is a bit different. It incorporates the physiology of your brain and reprocessing the physiology of your brain. So I wanted to make that clear, and I hope I have. If you have any other questions, please feel free to write me at kathyisin@gmail.com. Okay, Lucia, finally, yes. I will shut up so you can speak.
Goodness, you have barely touched your green tea, and you were like a little jibber-jabber box.
I'm shot out of a cannon right now.
Seriously. What I was going to say is I wonder, and this is obviously I have no medical experience whatsoever, but I wonder if a lot of us carry the potential for different diseases, disorders, dysfunctions, whatever it is, in our bodies, and then trauma can sort of act as a trigger. And whichever one gets triggered depends on your physiology and your genetics and your predispositions. And that's what I was going to say. That was pretty much it.
I wish you guys could see Lucia's eyes right now.
They're glazed over.
They're glazed over. You're like on another planet. It's kind of fun.
Sleepy.
We can have fun with Lucia today.
Don't tease me and just... Kathy's going to try and torment me now.
I know.
She sees an opening.
I won't. I need to back off of Lucia. Lucia's my rock.
Yeah.
My Lucia rock.
Yeah. Except for when I'm like this and a little sludgy today.
You're all right.
Can I tell them about the thing?
What thing?
This thing?
Okay.
So I don't know if you guys were listening last week, but I have been having a lot of stomach issues for probably 6 months now. And I finally went to the doctor. And the doctor said it's either gastric ulcer or gallstones. Well, I did a little more research. I had another attack of the stomach pain. and did more research, and it is very clearly gallstones or a gallbladder issue. Gallbladder, what am I, 90? So,
do you have gout?
Sorry, the past funny. Like 3 months, Kathy's been telling me to go to the doctor, I'm like, I have a stomach allergy. I'm allergic to avocados. Leave me alone. My stomach hurts. And she keeps putting her hand up to my little, under my sternum and saying, what's behind the stomach? But what? I'm like, who cares what's behind my lungs or behind my stomach? Leave me alone. My stomach hurts. What's behind the stomach? For 3 months, I've been hearing, what's behind the stomach?
It was behind your stomach. I could just.
Where my gallbladder is, people.
That apparently is what is behind your stomach.
There's nothing more annoying than when your best friend is annoying you and then is right. So annoying.
I think it's fun.
Annoying.
Well, I just could tell it wasn't an allergy. I don't know.
Every time I ate avocados or eggs, I would get a stomach ache. So why you would think it was behind my stomach when it was my stomach that hurt, but apparently it was behind my stomach.
I honestly can't tell you why. When I placed my hand on that place of your body, I distinctly felt like it was behind that.
Who thinks these things?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I wish I could tell you who.
Yeah.
So today, I want to talk about hoarders. Not necessarily hoarding and do we hoard. I guess suppose if that comes up, that's completely fine. But specifically the television show Hoarders. Do you watch this, Lucia?
Not the spinoff Animal Hoarders, but the original.
Is there a spinoff?
There's actually two shows on two different networks about hoarding. One's Hoarders and the other one's, I don't know, something else. But they're both about
hoarding. Yeah, one is called Hoarding Buried Alive.
One's on TLC and one's on Bravo, I think.
Right.
And then there's another show called specifically Animal Hoarders, which is the one that I cannot watch.
Yeah, that one's horrifying.
Horrifying.
I mean, they're both sort of horrifying in their own way.
Well, that one's it's horrifying, but it's also painful to watch because these people come from a place of loving animals and end up just giving them the worst life. I mean, they're trying to save the. It's just so conflicting emotionally.
It's very conflicting.
And the little victims are just, you know.
And this is also another thing. I mean, everyone wants to know why people hoard and what, you know, what is going through their mind.
Why they can't see it. It's like they don't see it.
They don't see it. They can't see beyond whatever it is that the hoard is protecting them from. So beyond the hoard, there's fears, there's anxiety, there is some sort of just broad stroke definition, fear of something that the hoard is distracting them from. The meaning and the belief that they attach to the items in their hoard keeps them safe from something. And very often, again, etiologies are always very different.
On those shows, they have the little pop-up information boxes or whatever. I think there's actually a physiological correlation, brain chemistry-wise, to people who hoard.
Absolutely.
They have something different than people who don't. What predisposition? I don't know what it is. Something's different.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I mean, this just makes another perfect example, a perfect argument, I meant to say, for how we can't separate mind, body, and soul. We just can't. Etiologies are always different. What's going to trigger it? What was there before? Did something come out of the blue and implant this issue? Did I always have this issue? What triggers this issue? And there's no real way to answer that in one definition that's going to fit everyone. You just can't do it. But we can talk about hoarding in terms of obsessive compulsive disorder because it is sort of a branch of that, if you want to call it a branch.
Yeah.
Subtopic.
Yeah.
Offshoot.
Okay.
Manifestation.
All right. Okay.
So obsessive compulsive disorder is obsessive obsessions. They are thoughts.
Is that the same thing where you have to tap, I don't know, the shower?
That's a manifestation.
Three times and then the...
Right. That's a rule, right? That's a rule that people... Obsessive compulsive disorder will... it is driven by the anxiety of folks who normally it's seeking control, feeling control out of their lives and seeking control with these obsessive compulsions. Obsessions are the thoughts that run through your mind, that just repetitively run through your mind, thoughts and beliefs that you just cannot get rid of. And even sometimes we know that we're believing something that is completely illogical, but we can't get rid of it. That's
I have to tell you, you know, I have like, I don't have any of those things, but I mean, I think everyone has the potential because when I'm doing packing, when I'm doing my shipping, I have to have the labels go on the box in the same direction every time and have to tape it the same way every time. Well, and when I'm training somebody else, I want them to do it that way, even though it makes absolutely no difference.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. If it didn't get on that box in that way, what's your experience of that?
It makes me a little bit uncomfortable, but I can just say, oh, it doesn't matter. Put it in the box. Like, put it in the shipping box.
Okay,
but I notice the discomfort.
Uh-huh.
I can let it pass.
Uh-huh.
Like, I joked with the girl that I was training to do shipping a couple weeks ago. I'm like, I know this is just my little OCD thing, but I like the labels to go in this way, but you do what you want. And then she was folding, instead of folding the paper in quarters, she was folding it in thirds. And it made me very uncomfortable. But part of what hiring people is letting go of the control that everything has to be my way, as long as the final product is still just as good. But it triggers like anxiety in me. I'm like, oh, it's third, it's not
right.
Slow.
Well, the fact that you can manage it, and the fact that you can have these rules broken without having some sort of mental breakdown,
right,
or feel like these people stabbed you in the back or they betrayed you. You know,
well, that's what I mean. I think everybody has the potential and these controlling issues. I think it's just when it goes haywire.
Exactly. I mean, you've heard me say that a million times before, right? Like we all have our defenses. It's when they go haywire, become dysfunctional. Mm. That's when we have a disorder or a diagnosis.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of talking about this topic, as a possible topic for sometime in the future. Specifically, I want to know about those of us who are watching this show. Now, hoarders have been around, you know, forever, but a lot of us haven't become aware of it unless we've had a hoarder in our lives, unless we've had hoarding issues ourselves, or until this show happened on TV.
The show blew up. I mean, it really, I don't know, it touched a vein, it touched a nerve.
Well, it's fascinating. I mean, you can't believe that people live this way, and then many of them justify it. Like, you know, they don't see that it's a problem. It's alienating them from their families.
Or they see that it's a problem, and when the person comes in to try and help, they fight like it's their life on the line to keep their, like, 400 chickens or whatever it is.
Yeah. I'm going to read a brief, very brief description of hoarding for anyone out there who's not exactly clear what it means. There's a three-part clinical definition of hoarding. Number one, the acquisition of and failure to discard a large number of possessions that appear to be useless or of limited value. Number two, your living spaces are cluttered enough that they cannot be used for the activities for which they were designed. And number three, significant distress or impairment in functioning is caused by the hoarding. And then there's three components to it. Acquiring possessions compulsively, that means compulsively buying or collecting free things. You don't actually need them, you just keep collecting them. Number two, saving all of these possessions and never discarding them regardless of the shape they're in or whether you can use them or whether you do use them. And number three, this is the big one, not being able to organize or maintain all of the saved possessions. So that's a very broad stroke, but pointed description of what hoarding can be. And we've all seen it on the TV show. And when Hoarding first came out, Hoarders, the TV show, my partner Jill was fascinated by it. She still is, actually. We watch it all the time. She's got it on TiVo. It's in our list of shows that we watch. And, I lost Lucia again.
She's reading.
Oh, she's reading the chat room. But Jill would have a visceral reaction to this show like no one I've ever seen before. It would piss her off.
Jill ain't shy.
Jill's not shy.
Jill ain't shy when she gets a visceral reaction. She lets you know.
She'll let you know. Mm-hmm. And she would get so mad. I mean, flipping mad. I think she threw a slipper across the room once.
Oh, my.
Not to hurt anyone, but just to sort of get it out there. And I was like, honey, maybe you shouldn't watch this show. It's not looking like it's good for you. But she had a visceral reaction to it. Now, if Jill is at all OCD, hers is on the other end of that spectrum. She has a disdain for keeping things that don't belong, that don't work anymore, that you don't need. She's got a little bit of judgment on sentimental value on things. You know, she's...
Especially ugly things. I'm just saying.
But her strong visceral reaction to it was what I noticed. And I also noticed just hanging out with friends and stuff, the show would come up and people would have this reaction to it. And then I got this very interesting email. And Sue, I'm talking to you. I'm going to call you in a minute. And I want to warn Sue because she was very adorable. She's a little nervous about talking online today.
Ain't nobody listening to us.
Ain't nobody listening.
Ain't nobody here.
It's just us. But Sue wrote me a letter and she said, listen, I was thinking about this TV show and this, you know, this disorder of hoarding. And I watch this show and I don't have any signs of addiction or obsession or compulsion in my life, but I watch this show and my visceral reaction to it is fear that that could be me. Fear that that could very possibly be me, that there is some hair trigger out there that could make this my life. And she wondered if there were other people out there that felt this way or if that were normal. And she wondered if we'd talk about it on the show. So I, of course, hit her up and asked her if we can get her on the phone today.
Yeah.
So this is what I want to do. Sue, I'm going to call you in just a moment. But first, I want to give everybody a little breather, a little break. I'm going to play a song by Karen D. It's fun. It's bluesy. It's rock. It has nothing to do with hoarding, but it is a fun little break. And when we get back, I'm going to get Sue on the line and see if we can figure out what her fear is about.
When we said I do, you promised to make me happy. You swore you'd do your best to try and treat me right. said we're through. Why am I surprised I still sleep alone at night? Well, since the ring's been on my finger, you've been as scarce as a wintertime leaf. You thought that after the vows, I'd just sit in this house while you do as you damn well please. You better make up your mind if you want a wife. You see, you're giving it your best shot. Well, if that's your best, it just ain't good enough. You think your work ends when the work bell rings? That after drinks with the guys, you should be treated like a king. You met all your mama, so get this straight. Don't take a degree in engineering to run a washing machine. And I ain't the only one throwing them dishes in the sink. Cause since the ring's been on my finger, you've been scarce as a wintertime leaf. You thought that after the vows, I'd just sit in this house while you do as you damn well please. Up your mind if you want a wife. You see, you're giving it your best shot. Well, if that's your best, it just ain't good enough. Cause since the ring's been on my finger, you've been scarce as a wintertime leaf. You thought that after the vows, I'd just sit in this house while you do as you damn well please. You know why, you say you're giving it your best shot. Well, if that's your best, it just ain't good enough. If that's your best, it just ain't good enough. Well, if that's your best, it just ain't good enough.
And we're back. That was Karen D. I love Karen D. I think she is phenomenally talented. Karen D is a musician I met in Memphis when I was out there with Jill. We were looking for a place to go listen to a girl band. You know, there's music everywhere in Memphis. If you're walking around looking for a bar, somewhere to have a drink, we thought, let's find a girl band, and we did. And sitting in the back of that band was this amazing drummer. She was amazing, and then she kicked in and sang a song, and her voice just filled the room. We actually put off flying back to L.A. for another day to stay in Memphis and interview her for Jill's video blog. Do you remember that, Lush? 100 years ago? Jill used to do a video blog called The Velvet Underground, or The Violet Underground. The Velvet Underground was a band, wasn't it?
It was.
I don't know. What's wrong, Lush? Oh.
Oh,
there,
Kathy.
How's that? I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. I had the wrong mic up.
Oh,
what are you going to do? Anyway, that was Karen D., if that's your best, and I think she's amazing. So, Sue, I hope you're ready. We're going to give you a call. We're going to talk to Sue about a letter she wrote, concerned about the fact that when she watches Hoarders, she feels a little bit like she might be susceptible to it. Let's call Sue and see if she hasn't lost her nerve.
Do it. Call Sue.
I'm calling Sue.
I think it's interesting that people find these shows. What I keep seeing on Bravo and on TLC is these shows about extremes. And let's see if she answers for us.
Maybe we should prank her first.
Hello?
Sue!
Yes?
Hi, it's Kathy and Lucia.
Hi.
You're so awesome, you answered your phone.
I felt obligated.
You're wonderful. Thank you so much. I know you were a bit nervous to do this, and thank you for your time yesterday. We chatted on the phone for a minute just so I could sort of, you know, I like to call it soothing. Lucia would say manipulating into having you come
on
the
show. Well, you definitely made sure I was going to do it.
Very convincing in that she won't leave you alone until you say yes kind of way.
Hey, everybody listening, yesterday was Sue's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday
to you.
So, Sue.
Don't remind me.
Aw. Can you just, I filled people in a bit about what your letter was regarding, but can you tell me what motivated you to write that letter? Tell me about this feeling that you have when you watch Hoarders.
buried alive.
I think for me, it's an, I don't know if it's an angst kind of feeling that I get watching it. And I don't know if it's, I feel like I'm just going to, like I said in my letter, slip right over that edge, even though I'm not that way. I just get this, I don't know, I think it's an angst or an OCD thing. I'm not quite sure.
So do you have OCD? Have you been diagnosed with OCD?
No, but I have been told I'm a bit compulsive or obsessive compulsive about certain things.
Okay.
And I guess the mess drives me crazy, and maybe I feel like I don't know. It's a weird feeling I get when I watch it.
Do you know anyone who is a hoarder? Do you have any experience in your family or anybody?
No, thank God.
No. So your first being exposed to this was the television show.
Yeah. It just is something I have a hard time watching, but it draws me in, and then I'm sitting there thinking, why am I watching it? It's driving me crazy.
You can't turn away, huh?
Yeah. Correct.
I'm wondering, do you relate emotionally to what the people are going through in some way?
Do I relate to that? Maybe it's just the idea that they can't overcome it, no matter what.
Yeah,
that bothers me, and I just think it's just the idea that I'm watching this and I'm thinking I could just see myself doing that, even though I'm not that way.
Well, what's interesting is you said you've been told you have some obsessive compulsiveness within you, and I think we all have that in some particular way. We will all find some way that we are particularly picky about something, but
yeah.
You said you can't stand the mess. That stood out to me. What makes you think that you may... So is your obsessive or compulsiveness that comes out in a very highly organized and neat sort of way? Or is it in other... Does it manifest in other ways? Like what are people talking about when they point that out for you?
It's everything has a place and everything has to be in that place for me.
I like that. That makes me feel safe.
You and my girlfriend would get along swimmingly.
Some of us around here like that sort of thing.
So I'm curious how you can think that you would ever become a hoarder, because if you've seen the show, you see that they are exactly the opposite of this.
I don't know exactly. You know, it's just maybe it's that out of control feeling. They just don't see it.
Uh-huh.
Other side of the same coin. It's the same issue, but instead of getting dysfunctional about it, she's highly, overly functional about it.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Sue. I think you're recognizing whatever those feelings of anxiety or fear are that have you sort of, I'll use the word militant, but I don't mean to judge or get, hurtful about it, but we can get militant about certain things, and that's driven by some sort of fear, some sort of lack of control that we perceive, whether it's true or real, and some sort of anxiety to, everything needs to be in its place. And when it's not, we actually have a visceral reaction to it. I imagine you are going, you're going straight to the core of that, and you're identifying with that in what you see with those folks, but they're sort of manifesting it in a whole other way. Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Do you attach sentimental value or meaning to objects in some way outside of the norm? I mean, we all do that. We have our grandma's jewelry or something that means something to us.
Yeah. Our favorite blankie.
Exactly.
Not a great deal. I mean, maybe I'll hang on to it for a little bit, but then it's like, oh, it's just taking up space and it's time to go.
See, I think that thought process right there is going to keep you safe from being a hoarder.
My mom is just the total opposite. She, I always made the comment that if it's illegal to get rid of your children, to dispose of them, or she would have got rid of me, because she throws everything away. Everything goes away. And it's like, I'm like, what is this I had when I was a kid? Oh, it's gone.
My mom does that too. She wants everything. Get it out of here.
Except,
I don't want to fit.
Except your mom keeps all those little Disney movies on the VHS tapes. She won't get rid of those.
What do you mean she won't get rid of those?
She has, because she said she told me she needed a VCR because she has all those Disney movies from when you guys were growing up and stuff. And
my mom does have some sentimental going on.
I think she has the ability to focus it on one instead of keeping every single thing from everyone's childhood.
Oh, no,
she keeps it like one yeah. box.
Well, my sisters and I drive her a little bit crazy because we all have our favorite stuff and we all, you know.
Keep it at her house.
Keep it at her house, right? I mean, the house that we grew up in, we're like, oh, we could just put this in mommy's basement or a garage and, you know, her house is full of our crap.
Yeah.
And, it's our, you know, I wanted to keep all of my Fisher-Price toys from when I was a kid. Like the Little People Fisher-Price toys.
Those
the houseboat.
I remember those.
I love those. Mm-hmm. And they're somewhere in a crawl space in my mom's house.
eBay. Your mom's on eBay when you're not around.
I know, seriously.
Stuff.
She's like, Kathy will never remember that.
It's so true. Hey, I wonder if Sue's mom's tendency to throw everything away makes her is related to this anxiety of hers. Are you giggling? I hear you giggling over there. I might have made sense of something because she's giggling.
Well, the stuff that, you know, you guys are hiding it in your, you know, mom's house, that was okay for a while, and then things just disappeared.
Exactly.
Sue's mom was on eBay.
I do think that that's happening with my mom. I think she figured out if she does it slowly and stealthily, we may not notice.
Yeah.
Now, she's probably going to be able to get away with that with me, but she won't with my older sister.
Yeah, mine like a steel trap, that one.
Daria doesn't forget a damn thing. And she's very sentimental. Yeah. My older sister is sweetly sentimental, and she keeps everything. So, Sue, thank you for calling. That wasn't too painful, right?
And
no.
I think you're safe, Sue. I don't think you're going to be on the show anytime soon. I think you're all right.
I think you're truly identifying with the core of that illness, which is the anxiety and the fear that's driven for anyone who has any kind of obsessive-compulsive behavior. And I don't know if yours is diagnosable, or if it causes dysfunction in your life, or if you feel like you need help, or if it's just...
She seems perfectly fine.
She seems kind of okay with it.
I am. I'm pretty normal about it. Okay. I am a bit obsessive here at work, too. I drive them crazy, so...
Well, sometimes that just makes you good at your job.
Sometimes it just makes order in a chaotic world.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
To find these ways.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
thank you, Sue.
It can get very chaotic.
Yeah.
So. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was lovely of her.
I think people relate to these shows. I think they're so popular, all these shows of extreme behavior, because there's something at the core of it that we can relate to. So you want to, you know, I think that's why we watch them, because there's something.
I also think people like to, Jill calls these shows the perspective channel.
Mm-hmm.
She'll put on TLC and she'll watch it and call it the perspective channel to get a sort of perspective on what her problems are and what they aren't.
True that. True, true, true.
Yeah.
Well, what's your excuse for watching Toddlers and Tiaras? And what's that other one? What's the new one?
My excuse for watching Toddlers and Tiaras is jaw-dropping fascination with what these...
painful, man. I can't even deal.
You know what? I want to do a show on Toddlers and Tiaras, and I want to find, and if there's one out there listening, a mom who is committed to putting her young daughter into these pageants.
We need
I want to talk to that mom. I want to understand this better. Or an ex-toddler. If you were a toddler in a tiara against your will, because some kids love it. You know, they just love it. It's fun for them.
Well, kids don't know what they love. They love to please their parents. If their parents are pleased and telling them they're doing good, then the kid
is
a little pile of Play-Doh. They don't know anything until you tell them what to know.
Well, this is very true. However, you kids do know if they're enjoying something or not enjoying something. Like, when I was a five-year-old kid, I enjoyed sports.
Mm.
My mom didn't put that in front of me. You know, that just happened, right?
She didn't put you in a tiara.
No, mm-mm. No, that wouldn't have worked. that wouldn't have worked. The call-in number is 818-602-4929. Lucia and I are talking about hoarders.
TV, hoarding. Mostly.
TV. Anything on the perspective channel. I want to know what your visceral responses to this show are. Can you turn away? Can you not watch it? Do you watch it with someone who throws eggs at the TV? What's it like for you? 818-602-4929. Lucia has her hand on her tea like it's going to run away.
No, it's empty. I was just, you know, thinking about stealing yours, actually.
You can have a sip of my tea.
I can't watch Hoarders. I watched the first few episodes, but then I find my emotional reaction. First of all, it's not just entertaining enough to watch the sort of the same thing over and over. So the only thing I'm left with is my emotional reaction, which is discomfort and frustration and, you know.
What show is this?
The Hoarders.
The Hoarders.
Yeah.
The Hoarders.
And the family comes in and it's just frustrating because you can't.
Sometimes, you know, I'll share my feelings about it. I mean, sometimes I watch the show and I'm enormously frustrated because the people can be their defense can kick in when people are trying to help them. They can become very belligerent and very demeaning and very judgmental. And they excommunicate their kids, their family. They sort of, everyone in their life feels less valuable than the hoard to these folks. And they're just wreaking havoc on the relationships in their families, let alone their own health and all of that. But some of these folks, they know they're mm-hmm. sick. They have an awareness of it, and they will own that, and they will talk about it. And my heart breaks. My heart breaks.
Well, the ones that I can watch are the ones that are when they own it and they want to heal, and then they show you the process of them cleaning up and healing.
Yeah.
The hopeless ones I can't stand. The hopeless ones just I can't even deal.
They bug you, right?
Yeah, they bug me.
I think they piss people off.
Yeah.
They piss people off because they're belligerent. They won't look at what's happening right before their eyes
but
and own that it's
those,
a problem.
I really believe that those people have an additional mental problem besides just whatever triggered the hoarding. I mean, I feel like I've seen some of those shows and the people that just will not listen to reason, I feel like they have that their problem is expansive beyond just, I got too much stuff. My stuff's in the way and I don't want to get rid of my stuff.
I think you're right. I think the folks that can admit it have some sort of resiliency that the folks that can't admit it.
Matter of degrees.
Do not have.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it kind of reminds me of body dysmorphic disorder. The folks that look around their house and go, well, it's not that bad. Meanwhile, there's right. rat droppings in their fridge
yeah.
and there's you know,
a dead cat in the hallway. Yeah. There's some of those kill me.
Yeah.
Anybody calling us?
No one's calling.
Call us.
I think people are scared. You're scaredy cats.
No, we won't judge you.
Totally kidding. We have animal hoarders as
well.
Oh,
that one I can't.
Now, these are the folks that are tremendously dangerous beyond just the regular dangers of a regular hoard, which
are... Well, they think they're helping. They want to do it out of some, like, feeling of loving animals and wanting to save them and rescue them. But the ones I've seen... The animals are in terrible condition. You know, I've seen terrible things on that show.
Now, this might not be a fair thing to say, but I'm going to share my thought process about it. And this may not be a fair thing to say, but I think animal hoarders and I will speak just to the ones that I've seen on TV, okay, that claim to love these animals and they can't live without these animals. I believe they've crossed almost into a sociopathic state where those animals are only there to serve them. Because if you actually love those animals and you see them climbing all over each other, you know, some of them have eyes that are swollen shut. They have staph infections. They're living in cages. I mean, the youngest or the runts of the litter are dying because they're just sort of throwing food on the ground and letting them work it out themselves. And it doesn't work that way.
I've seen some crazy shows. There was one guy who just lived with like a bazillion rats. They had like chewed through his walls. They were living in the walls. They literally took over his house. More rats than I have ever seen in a movie or on a TV.
And then what was his? He wanted to keep the rats? Is that it?
No, he actually acknowledged that it was, they had become his family because of some trauma regarding people in his life that he had lost.
Right.
I don't remember. He might have been a vet of war. And so he had experienced a lot of loss and a lot of trauma. And just, you know, a couple rats just started off being his little buddies. And, you know, they just kept breeding and it just took over. But he acknowledged it. Got them cleaned up, but they had an actual rat rescue come. He didn't just want them exterminated. Like, he had an emotional attachment to them. They had become his family.
Right.
And
yeah, I mean, we have to remember, you know, we can talk about our feelings and our responses to this, but these people have taken leave of their right mind. They're not healthy. And what they need is support and what they need is help. And even the belligerent ones deserve some support and help because they're getting themselves in a situation where their health is at risk. They're living in extremely toxic situations and there are fire hazards and all kinds of stuff. The call-in number is 818-602-4929. I'm going to give us a little music break with something by Deborah Davis, a cute little song called Only Love Knows. Deborah Davis is a musician who will be a guest on our show very soon. So here it is, Only Love Knows.
Boat shall roll. What direction love will grow as a kiss unfolds? Only love knows. Can't find it in any book. They don't know what you mean when you look at me that way. Thank you.
Davis, Only Love Knows.
That was lovely.
Ladies, gentlemen, I saw a couple of calls coming in. I should explain to you, while a music is playing, I can't answer the call, which is so distressing.
Maybe we can figure out how to do that next
Maybe
time.
We can figure out how.
Maybe we can answer them in the other room. So they,
yeah,
they can...
but I'd love to have you dial back. Oh, here they are.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kathy, it's Biz. How are you?
Hey, Biz, what's going on?
Well, I just wanted to say that it's really difficult to deal with people that are hoarders. As you know, my mom and dad actually both passed away in 2010, and Tori and I have been dealing with that ever since. Going through the house, going through everything, going through the business, it was just literally a pathway to another pathway.
Mm.
And... yeah.
So was one or both of them hoarders is what you're saying?
Yes, both.
Both.
More so my mom, but definitely both of them. And so it was been an interesting thing because you have to literally have to go through every box because who knows what you may find.
Right. So did you live with them, Busy?
I did, and it ended up being... my room, and then the rest of the house.
Oh, so your room was your room was under your control, and you could keep it how you wanted it.
Right, but that ended up meaning, to an extent, all of my stuff had to be in my room, which doesn't always end well, because, you know, you have all kinds of stuff.
Busy, was it like this your whole life?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it wasn't a surprise when you started to go through stuff. You weren't surprised at what you found.
No.
She lived in a house full of
horror. Well, there were some surprises. There were. Yeah. But we had been in that house for 22 years, and there were still boxes in the garage packed from when we moved there.
Wow. Let me ask you a question, Busy. How did this, was it, first I want to know, was it a talked about thing in your family? Was it your mom and your dad? Was it discussed? Did anyone try to change it? Did anyone try to talk to your mom about it and have her throw things away?
To an extent, it actually ended up getting worse instead of better, though. When my grandma moved into the nursing home, when we went to my grandma's house, you know, what do you do with everything that she couldn't take to the nursing home? Well, it ended up being spread out to my family.
Right.
However, there were still some things you just couldn't throw away. Mm-hmm. They ended up at my house.
At the house
and so,
where you live with your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it ended up, you know, well, eventually we'll go through that and throw it away. Oh, when grandma died, oh, we'll go through that and throw it away.
Busy, let me ask you a question. Did you ever have a thought process, just even on your own, that made you wonder what it was that this was serving, how this was serving your mom and why she did it? Were you aware that this was outside the norm and that this probably
She
was... Yeah, yeah.
Well, I know in the chat room, I made the comment earlier that there was also a mindset in the people that grew up in the Depression time period, or those that grew up as children of those people, that you used everything because, you know, there's some, to an extent, you kept it because it might be useful.
Right, right. Yeah, you're right. And this is an example of a trauma-triggered frame of mind, right?
My father, to a really big extent. I mean, there, you know, he grew up in the Depression,
right. And
you literally used everything. You might keep that one screw because you might need it.
Right, right. Yeah, this is a perfect example of an etiology from trauma that can trigger a psychological disorder. He was sort of stuck in a loop and didn't realize that that time was over, and he didn't have to defend himself from that particular danger anymore.
But so traumatic, and the thought of it possibly happening again.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard the same
sort of thing from
survivors of the Holocaust and family members. Their offspring have the same sort of trauma.
Oh, yeah. There is a history of handed-down trauma in Holocaust survivors. Busy, thank you for calling in.
And that's something that we're trying to deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm 29. I grew up with this.
Right.
And I'm, you know, not only seeing it at home, but I'm also seeing it at work because we own our own business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it happened there, too.
Right.
And do you feel like you're susceptible to any of these? Do you have any traits that worry you about yourself?
Oh, big time.
Oh, girl.
Big time. But Tori and I are working on that, and it's been,
good for you.
You know, a process, and just so much garbage and so many, you know, things of, do we really need this, or do we have 15 of them? We should get rid of them.
Right. Well, you're going through a healthy process. Yeah. Those are the right questions to be asking yourself, and I'm glad you have Tori for support. And thank you for calling in, Busy. Well,
one other thing, and this was another thing that got brought up, is the difference between collections and hoarding.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The difference between collections and hoarding right off the bat is collectors can and have the ability to organize and maintain their collection, whereas hoarders have no ability to organize and maintain that organization because everything has such equal value and is such a unique item to them that they cannot find a way to categorize it, and so it just ends up being all over the place.
Exactly. Right. And we were talking about that got brought up as well. And I just wanted to say thanks for the plug for the chat room because we are definitely almost 25 strong in there right now.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Busy. I'll talk about it again. So the chat room that they're talking about is at thecdbnetwork.com. Click on the CDB TV Lounge and you will see a chat room there, and that's where those folks hang out. So we are almost out of time. I just want to take a second to thank my sponsors. We have blagaspot.com, and someday I'm going to explain to you what that means. There's blagaspot.com. We have the lesbian travel site discoversweet.com. We have Lucia's leather accessories, luckydogleather.com. And we also have my comedy web series, We Have to Stop Now, .tv. And for those of you listening on LA Talk Radio today, this is where we say goodbye. However, if you are listening on transformationtalkradio.com or on WBLQ 1230 AM out of Rhode Island, please stay tuned. For the next 10 minutes, you will have the Kathy is In 5-minute feature. And that's what we'll do at the end of these shows. I have to say goodbye to you here on LA Talk Radio, but stay tuned at transformationtalkradio.com and WBLQ 1230 AM to listen to the Kathy is in 5-minute feature, while I will feature an artist every week, comedian, musician. It's good times. Good times, and I will see you next week.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
That was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
And now, the Kathy is in 5-minute feature.
Musician Janet Robin.
The devil, my heart is an empty god, so broken and fragile inside. I'm so lost with a little hope and a little faith. That's where I get my strength and I get my grace. With a little hope and a little faith, I'll soon be there. That's where I get my strength and I give my grace. With a little hope and a little faith, I'll soon be there. Yeah. 2 steps forward and 1 step back. Trying to find that perfect path. With a little hope and a little faith, I'll soon be where I wanna be. make myself. Catch me quick before I hit. I was trying to dance with you. Didn't think it would dance with me. I'm a beautiful freak in a beautiful world. Whenever I sleep in the shadow of your curl, I dream of your wonderful kiss that numbs all my. Obsessive fool, I wanna be inside of you instead of inside of me. What a mess I am. Would you touch me again with all of my tainted past? We've only got time to last. I'm a beautiful freak in a beautiful. Shadow of your curl, I dream of your wonderful kiss. It numbs all my loneliness. Well, do you want me, or will you realize I might not be enough? I dream of your wonderful kiss. It numbs all my.